General Ironbeak fluttered about in the sun-warmed shallows of the Abbey Pond. He took a deep drink, throwing his head back as the bright droplets sparkled from his fine dark plumage. Mangus stood to one side, taking in the scene with disdain. He had often drunk water, but bathing in it was out of the question. The Raven General shook himself and swaggered briskly about at the water's edge. Today was a day for great plans. The omens were good, and he felt energetic.
That was good. Now, my Mangus, are your visions favouring us? Does your mind's eye see clear still?
All is still well, my general, though my visions say that haste would be unseemly.
Unseemly? What kind of old farmhand's talk is that? Listen to me, my strong right wing. You just keep your visions happy and Ironbeak will do the planning.
But, general, I told you yesterday the visions said that...
Silence! I've heard enough. Go and bring my magpies to me and all my fighting rooks. I have a plan to put pay to all the nonsense that surrounds this redstone house. A good plan, straightforward, with no trickery or sneaking about like thrushes in a hedgerow. From now on, we will fight as we did in the Northlands. No creeping around the back. Good direct attacking. Straight wing to beak fighting, with no prisoners taken. Now go!
Mangus was beset by a dreadful feeling of foreboding, though he knew there was no talking to Ironbeak when he was in conquering mood. The crow withdrew, bowing respectfully.
General, your wish is my command. I will bring all our birds to you.
Little Sister May looked a simple soul, but that was because deep down she was a very wise schemer. During the night, she had laced Strike Red Kite's drinking water with a huge dose of the drug she had concocted for the magpies in the orchard. Strike was a thirsty bird, and she had drunk deep. Now the Great Red Kite lay soundly under the influence of Sister May's knockout drops. Abbot Mordalfus, John Churchmouse, Brother Rufus, and Sister May gathered round the unconscious bird, each of them versed in the art of healing as passed down through generations of Redwall brothers and sisters. John Churchmouse donned his spectacles and dusted off a slim volume.
Old Methuselah's Index of Bird Ailments and Remedies. What do you think, Father Abbot?
The abbot looked up from a tome he was studying.
That's a good one, John, though there's much to recommend this fine book. Sister Hartwood's Complete Category. It contains nearly 5 chapters on birds.
Brother Rufus helped Sister May as she raised Strike's broken wing. Then she wiped her paws busily upon a clean white apron.
Oh, dear. That is a nasty-looking break. Mr. Spike, would you roll one of those small firkins over here so we can keep this wing in the right position?
Ambrose grumpily complied with the request.
It don't do much for the clearness of beetroot port wine to be messing and rolling it about. Here, I hope you're not going to feed that great feathered lump on my best beetroot port wine.
We should say not, Ambrose.
John Churchmouse chuckled.
Though we may need a drop or two of it ourselves before we're finished here.
Then I may as well stay here and help you.
The hedgehog cellar keeper grunted. The broken wing was propped up on the battle top and weighted securely with books. Abbot Mordalfus inspected the wing tip.
Look, there's a pinion feather missing. Sister May, will you check the bird's tail feathers and see if there's one the same size as the final outward pinion on the other wing? Ambrose, would you have a look in the kitchen for any good, strong fish bones? Oh, and we'll need fine greased twine and some dried onion skins, and have a scout round for that jar of river mud compound we use on burns. I have great faith in the healing powers of that stuff.
They called their requests after Ambrose as he trundled off.
Fetch the finest sewing needle the cornflower has got.
And don't forget the witch hazel.
Some almond oil, too.
Then nip into Cavern Hole and pick up my herbal bag, please.
Ambrose shrugged his spikes moodily.
I don't suppose you'd like me to fetch you lunch, dinner, tea and supper, too?
Oh, and Ambrose, would you ask Winifred to fetch our lunch, dinner, tea and supper out here? This is going to be a long job.
Iron Beak left off tugging a worm from the lawn as Mangus approached. He saw the crow was alone and glared severely at him.
Well,
my general, what has happened is none of my doing. If you peck me and claw me, you will be doing me a great wrong.
Iron Beak's bright eyes shifted back and forth between the abbey and the crow.
I will peck the tongue from your foolish beak if you do not stop babbling and tell me what is happening.
It is the rooks and the magpie brothers, my general. They have barred themselves within the dormitory room and will not come out.
Now what has got into those duck-brained idiots?
Iron Beak snorted.
They say that the head of the ghost mouse appeared to them last night, and it warned them to stay in the dormitory room.
The raven leader struck his powerful beak sideways against the stone. The noise it made surprised Mangus.
Then I must go and talk to them.
Mangus followed the general at a respectable distance. He did not like the way Ironbeak had said the word talk. The raven perched in the broken window space. His seer crow sat upon the grass, listening intently.
So, my fighters, you've been listening to the ghost mouse again. What did it have to say this time?
Apart from a few muffled caws, there was no clear reply. Iron Beak dug his claws into the woodwork at the window frame.
You do not choose to speak to your leader. Then I will come in and speak to you.
He hopped down and vanished inside the dormitory. Mangus hunched up, closing his eyes, as he listened to the awful sounds of birds screeching and beds being upset. He couldn't see the feathers which flew out of the dormitory window.
Who gives the orders? A mouse's head or Iron Beak? I'm in command here. Get out! Out, you worthless rabble!
Rooks poured out of the window, struggling against each other to get through the enclosed space. Mangus winced at the savage sounds of his general dealing out fierce punishment. Not for nothing was he known as the most feared fighter in the Northlands.